and any attack happen to it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had stopped it. And only the Prophet Muhammad was the only prophet that Allah had gave him this speciality, okay? And Allah had made it only for a small certain hour during the day for him to take care of this business, okay? When he came with the soldiers, the believers, and with his weapons, but alhamdulillah, was no any wars took place. So it was something special and is not supposed to be done anymore, okay? So it was like an exception for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah had permitted for me only and the believers with me in that time during 1 hour during the day, and is not supposed to be for anybody after me, okay? So not anybody, no trouble for anyone after me. The games is not to be molested or disturbed. The hunting, birds, animals, no one has the right. Okay, so it's not only a matter of wars and fighting, nor even no disturbance for the birds, for the animals. Okay. Huh? Everything, okay, except these 5 things that we spoke about it, okay? You could not disturb or molested its games, that mean birds and things like this. Stones not to be cut, okay? Stones not to be cut, anything which falls in it is not lawful, only for the one to announce it. Like you did not find somebody's wallet and you take it, you don't find ₺100 and take it and keep walking, okay? Everything secret, okay? Everything is secret. You could not find something in the ground and take it and walk. Only you pick it up to what? To declare it and to announce about it, who lost his wallet, who lost this, okay? And if anyone, the relatives of him being killed, you could not go and kill the killer. But you have the choice, okay? You have the choice between taking the money or that you request for qisas, okay? And the ruler, the person in charge, okay, he will impose this punishment, but not from one to one and everybody go and take it in his hand and do whatever he want, okay? So somebody kill your father, you could not go kill this person. The family of this person going to have to pay, or that you will request for an equal punishment, that for him to be killed, and the person, the ruler who's in charge, is the one who do this. You don't have the right to go and kill him.
How did they deal with crimes in that? How did they deal with crimes at that time? Did they delay the punishment till after?
No, we're talking about any time. You don't have to be in a state of ihram or no. Any, we're talking about Mecca now.
Okay, how do they deal with crimes?
They do it. The government takes it. Understand, if a person supposed to be killed, he'll be killed. If a person, his hand need to be cut, still, they cut his hand after Jum'ah while the people coming. They have a big square which people gather and they bring the person, the criminal there, and they do the punishment there. Okay? So,
if you're in a state of ihram, you can watch somebody be punished?
Uh-huh. This has nothing to do with this, okay?
What about if the person that committed the crime was in a state of ihram?
I have to ask my sheikh about it.
Okay.
How would be a person in a state of ihram, and is the Prophet ﷺ telling you about even the thorns? Don't grab the thorns, you understand, leave it, and you want to go take somebody's blood? So you better stay home in your country, don't go make hajj, you understand? We're telling you that animals, you could not touch the birds, you could not, you understand, cut the thorns, you could not scare the birds, you could... frighten a bird, you understand? You are not supposed to do it. Now you're going to go take somebody and kill him and he's still in state of haram.
Well, you did say people do come to steal.
Yeah,
how do they do that?
I don't think they come in a state of haram now. Allah knows best. Okay. So Al-Abbas asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning some special what you call it? No, it's not a tree, it's like a grass or something like this. Something grow because they use it for you understand? Yeah, something special one called Al-Akhur. So because they have a special smell and they use it to put it in the grave. Okay, and they bought it also in their houses. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave exception to al-adhkhur only. Other than this, he could not cut a tree. Okay, everything, regardless if you are in a state of ihram or you are not, in Mecca, the surrounded area, the city limit, you could not do any of these things. If you are in the state of al-ihram, even out Mecca, you could not do anything. Okay?
Does it apply after you pass haram?
Now, it depends. You are in a state of ihram or no. If you are in a state of ihram, you could not hunt, you could not shave, you could not marry, you could not marry somebody, you could not propose, all these things. Okay? If you are in Mecca and you are not in ihram, you could not frighten the birds, you could not hunt there, you could not pick the thorns, you could not pick up something somebody lost and take it home, all these things.
That's the whole city of Mecca. That's not just in the whole
city of Mecca. Yeah. Hadith number 605 عن عبد الله بن زيد بن عاصم رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن إبراهيم حرم مكة ودعا لأهلها وإني حرمت المدينة كما حرم إبراهيم مكة وإني دعوت في صاعها ومدها بمثل ما دعا به إبراهيم لأهل مكة. Hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, and hadith reported by Abdullah ibn Zayd. The hadith is authentic, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us that Ibrahim had declared Mecca to be a secret place. The Prophet Ibrahim declared Mecca to be a secret, and we explained just now. Yes,
how would you deal with, say, for instance, you're driving in the outskirts of Mecca and you hit an animal, what would you do?
Okay.
Your car accidentally.
Okay, we'll get to this inshallah. Do you have insurance? Do you have driver license? This is what I was...
Yeah.
That Ibrahim had declared Mecca to be secret, and he invoked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for its people. And I, which is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will declare Al-Madinah to be a secret place, same way like the Prophet Abraham declared Mecca to be a secret place. And I invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi sa'iha and muddiha. I make dua to Allah to bless the scale and the measurement of Al-Madinah the same way that Allah Ibrahim called in Allah to bless the scale and the measurement of Mecca. So from this hadith we understand that Madinah is a sacred place like Mecca. By the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is hadith. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I declare Medina, like the Prophet Ibrahim declared Mecca. I'm declaring the Medina, and I'm calling Allah for blessings to the people of Medina the same way like Ibrahim make du'a for the people of Mecca, and I'm making du'a that Allah bless their food, their measurements, their scale the same way." Okay?
The Prophet needs to declare Bethlehem.
Not to my knowledge. Okay. And Allah knows best, okay? So Medina is also secret place, the same way like Haram, you could not hunt the animals, you could not all the thing, okay? That also the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he had put it in the people of Medina as a result of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the food of the last hadith for tonight inshallah, hadith number 606, page number 256. وعن علي ابن ابي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المدينة حرام ما بين عير الى ثور. Okay, this hadith in Mecca in collection of Imam Muslim, reported by Ali, maybe Allah be pleased with him. I don't have a specific destination, but the hadith shows you that there is a certain area, what you may call it, a city limit for Al-Madinah, that became also haram, that is secret, okay? So, from the south is Ir, the mountain, okay, or the area called Ir, and from the north is Saur, and Al-Harra from the east. But basically, when you go, you will find what you may call it landmark, and the sun will shows you that this is the skirts or the city limit of Al-Madinah, and inside this you could not be doing any of these things. And excuse my my speech for tonight, and I have to cut the class short because I have a problem, and alhamdulillah that Allah blessed me to be able to reach to the end of this chapter. So inshallah, the week coming Tuesday, we talk about Sifat al-Hajj and how you're supposed to enter Mecca and how you make the tawaf, and we talk about the actual Hajj inshallah. Hopefully that we finish until hadith number 644. So we planning to try to cover 35 hadith for the next class inshallah. And after this we're going to have a short chapter concerning Hajj, and after this we'll go about showing videos and books and material concerning Hajj, and also to try to do things like showing you how to dress, how to wear, how to do things before. So we have one full class, and after this the second class after this, which will be the fourth class, that we going to, anybody have any material concerning Hajj, books, videos, slideshow, please bring it so we can present it. Not this coming class, the class after next class inshallah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Question, I was listening to a woman had to travel with a mahram, and you were using some example and city limits for Mexicans, and you know, you can't go outside of that. The question isn't related to that. I'm saying, if we go to Mexico, can we shorten our salat? Is that considered traveling there? Now, that's all. Is it considered traveling for women? Is that considered traveling?
No, this is not a traveling for women. I said a woman going in the city limit like Lexington and Casey and all these things, which inside Colombia, this is not a traveling, it doesn't require a mahram.
Okay.
If she's going to place like Charleston, Charlotte, now we consider this as a traveling. This is not Colombia anymore, okay, this is not South Carolina anymore, she is traveling, she need a mahram, and she's a must. And there is no any school of thought, not Ahmad ibn Hanbal, not Imam Malik, not Imam Shafi, not anybody said is lawful. Okay? The only exception that we made, that some scholars they understood from the action of Ibn Umar, from the action of Umar radiallahu anhu, when he told the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after his death to Hajj, So we said some scholars, they understood from this the permissibility of woman going for Hajj without mahram. This is the only kind of traveling. The only kind of traveling is permitted by the scholars. Okay, that a woman can go without a mahram, and the condition that it have to be a rifqa ma'muna min al-nisa, to be a crowd group of women in safety, believers women going with her. Okay, and also other conditions that is not is optional Hajj. That means this is the first time for her to go to make Hajj. Now if she meets this requirement or these conditions, now she can go to Hajj and Allah knows best.
What about women making hijra or in fear of her life, for example?
Okay, this is something called like emergency. In case of emergency, like a woman has to run from a state to state or from country to country, fear of her life, that if she didn't make this move, that she will be present, she will be killed, she will be whatever it is, okay, or somebody may be attacking her, whatever it is, she will go. She will go, she don't wait for anything, okay? The hijra, if it's not going to be a hijra of every day, like every day, you go from state to state and city to city, and say I'm making hijra, and next hijra, next hijra, yeah, she can go, okay? Like, as example, there are people going to go live in California and they're going to go to East Orange, New Jersey as example, or come to South Carolina, okay, or they're going to go to Yemen or going to Egypt, and she could not have any mahram with her. We tell her you go, and after you reach there, this is it for you, and Allah knows best. Fadda lef Sa'ad Shih Hadda Al-An.
Fadda. An example of Umar radiallahu anhu, the
wives
of Prophet Muhammad. As you know, the wife of Prophet Muhammad considered as the mother of the believers. So this example is not applicable for them.
This is true. This is the understanding of some of the scholars, that they said that the women of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are the mahram, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forbid anybody to marry them after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so this is considered as mothers. But we understand that Aisha, as example, Ummu or Hafsa, none of them, because she's a mahram, she will take her headpiece off in front of Umar, as example, or in front of Abu Bakr. So the mahramiyah here is special kind of mahramiyah concerning marriage, not other things, and Allah knows best. But the approval of the Sahaba, that is considered like Ijma', they did not object to the action of Umar. But some scholars, for sure that some scholars, they said no for the woman not traveling, even if it's Hajj, even the first Hajj, okay? And they said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that لِمَنْ اسْتَطَعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, and that she has no sabil. And one of the sabil, one of the means is to have a mahram. Okay? But anyway, I stated in the last class that there is no clear-cut evidence from Quran or Hadith that a woman can go to Hajj without a mahram, and this been established later on by understanding from the action of Umar. I made this clear last week. So we respect this opinion, and if somebody will feel or believe or preach that a woman doesn't go for Hajj without a mahram, we could not tell him that you are wrong. We could not. Okay? And if we hear that somebody said yes, it's permissible with these conditions, there is other people who are more scholarly and more learned than us, they had said this, and we only repeating what they said, and Allah knows best. Jazakallah khair. Anybody else? Any comments? Any correction? We still have 3 minutes. Oh, no. Okay, this is okay. Excuse me, I forgot that we're supposed to make a comment. Go ahead, Fadda.
I want to ask a question. If a woman is a Muslim, or a mahram, supposedly, a non-Muslim, can they do a mahram for her to go to Hajj? Because first of all, they cannot go to Hajj anyway.
I understand. A mahram, what we call a mahram, is a man who is forbidden to marry this woman under any condition. Okay? The imam could not be a mahram for her, neither you, neither me. Okay? But we say she don't have a mahram, but she will be with a group of women. Okay? That حيث تنعدم الخلوة. Okay? حيث تنعدم الخلوة ويؤمن عليه. So that means there is no privacy going to be taking place between this woman and other men, because there is a trustworthy group of women traveling with her. But a man could not be a mahram for the woman even if he's 100 years old. He's still a man and she's still a woman, even if all her family are kuffar. So she have to be patient. Sometimes I understand you could not help your feeling. Say, okay, what I'm going to do now? I want to see Mecca. I want to make Hajj. I want to do this. So inshallah, we say maybe Allah make a way for her that she can go. If she want to be patient, she will get the reward. She will still get the reward for Hajj because she want to go, but she don't have a mahram. Otherwise, let her go get married. If there is no necessity, the question for the brother here, if she don't have a mahram.
If her father could be a mahram, even if he's a Muslim.
If her father can be a mahram for her, he can be a mahram for her as long as he's a person who has this dignity. And what you call, that mean her father is not going to see her holding to somebody's hand or somebody kissing her, and his father will be standing doing nothing. He'll be smiling, and after this she can say, nice meeting you. So this kind of people could not be mahram. You see, he can be mahram if he has the moral. Okay? Doesn't matter if he's a Christian or a Jew, whatever it is, but he still has this respect and the moral of family, that he will have jealousy to see his daughter or his sister, the somebody, talking fish to her. He say, hey, what's going on? You understand? And you should know that there is a Christian families, they have these morals. That there is people who are Christian and they have these things about, they don't have this boyfriend and girlfriend business and people coming in the house and talking and privacy. No, they don't have this business, okay? And after 6 o'clock, you understand, the girl in the house and all this routine. There is families still holding to this principle. We have to close here because we have to consider other people. They have to travel, they have to go back to their jobs and whatever it is. So inshallah we'll continue next week. Jazakum Allah khairan. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Thank you.
And Allah knows best. Wa iyyakum. Jazakum Allah khairan.
Thank you.
Be quiet, welcome. Barakallah. The azan, please. Somebody can help to take this stuff, please.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Allah قبل minutes in case anybody wants.